Anonymous. Why would anyone want to do that? This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Continue our conversation now with Humphrey Hawksley, a leading BBC foreign correspondent. New book, Man on Ice, describing the two islands that separate Russia and the United States. Fairly nondescript, are they, Humphrey? I mean, you've got an Alaskan village on one side and a Russian outpost on the other, but not big guns pointed at each other or anything of that nature, is it?
No, it's not big guns pointed at each other, and I think that's deliberate on both sides. So over in Europe, you have got a lot of stuff going on between NATO and Russia at the moment, ramping up every day, jets being scrambled, radar locked on, that sort of thing. Over on the actual border where these two countries come face-to-face, it's quite low-key. And I think that's deliberate because they know that if anything flared up there and you had Russian and U.S. forces actually facing each other down, well, that's never happened before. But it is enormously unprotected. And if you talk to people like the Republican Senator Dan Sullivan, who's an Alaskan senator, he is talking time and time again that the U.S. has got to match Russian military presence up there. Because over the past few years, Steve, Russia has built up and modernized old Cold War bases right along the Arctic.
Right.
Ordered new planes, new missiles, new ships. And the U.S. has done practically nothing up in that key bit that leads through the northern passes through the Arctic out into the Pacific.
And I've also read that Russia has put forth a resolution, if you will. I don't know if that's the right term, but put forth a request, a resolution on 1.2 million square kilometers to claim the territory. And they put that before the United Nations to say this should be Russian territory, 1.2 million square kilometers, which is a big piece of real estate, obviously, while America and Canada sit here doing little, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happening here is if you know, they call it the Northern Passage or the Northern Sea Routes. So as the ice melts with climate change and they're looking up around 2050 over the next 30 years, you're cutting the time of getting some cargo from, say Shanghai to Rotterdam in Europe, that journey time's cut by about 6 weeks. And those people that control, or those governments that control those northern sea routes, will have a key control to world trade. So Russia and China are both moving into the Arctic and doing exploration, ice breaking, that sort of thing at this early stage. And what Russia is doing essentially is making a similar claim the one we talked about a few days ago about what China is doing in the South China Sea. And it's taking, you know, de facto military control of what will be one of the most important trade routes in the world in the coming next generation or so.
Well, certainly if it opens up, you're more of an optimist about the Northwest trade routes opening up. I believe by 2050, I can't predict the weather for next week, so I'm not going to predict the weather for 2050.
No, they can't predict it either, and that's why people are saying, yeah, it's going to open up, it's not going to open. But more and more ships are actually going through there every year. So I think it was, you know, 10 years ago it was 5 ships, and now it's 20 or something like that. But even the climatologists say they can't predict it. You're right.
That's correct. But if it does open the way that some believe that it will, then clearly those would be shipping channels that are of great importance. If it returns to a cooling trend and it turns back to more ice, more time throughout the year, then it'll be no better than it is today. But it is interesting because the real bottom line of what you're pointing out here is that America is not investing in defending itself the way we once did. We watch the Russians, we watch the Chinese, we watch everything. We watch ourselves fall behind. Hypersonic missiles from Russia, the Chinese doing the same thing. Both sides say that there is nothing in the American defensive arsenal that can defend against these missiles, as another example of where we might be falling behind, correct?
Well, I think that's right. And even if, is getting back, even if those trade routes don't open up, you've still got the submarine activity below the ice. And that's around, and there are huge gas and oil pipelines that Russia and China are striking deals on there. And it will become a cat and mouse game. So the sonar capabilities, the acoustic superiority of submarines, all of that needs to be ramped up, coupled with the overt military bases. So in the man on ice scenario, Russia goes in and takes an American island and holds 80 villagers hostage. And the question that goes through Washington and all that is, what does America do about this? Does it just let it happen? Why go to war over an island where nobody really lives? Or is it a matter of holding on to sovereignty? And I'll tell you, Steve, when I was researching this and talking to people in Washington, I got answers quite convincingly on both sides.
Not worth the war. Absolutely worth the war. Complete separation of ideas.
Exactly. And we, you know, I did a sort of litmus test. Everybody, I talked to people like yourself. And I mean, I don't know what you think about that, but a lot of people that I would have said, yeah, we're going to have to make a stand here. This is the red line element that, say, Obama didn't match his red line promise, did he, in Syria? And then you see what happened there.
Disaster,
you know, would you go to war to defend a remote Alaskan island that's got a Russian flag on it that shouldn't have a Russian flag on it? At what stage do you put people in harm's way?
Great question. It's a great question. Great premise for the book. The book Man on Ice, written by Humphrey Hawksley from the BBC. Real quickly, where can people find that book, Humphrey?
They should. It's on Amazon. Just press the buy button. Bookshops can order it in, or it might be in the bookshop. Libraries have got it. So Man on Ice, just ask for it and by Humphrey Hawksley, and hopefully it will be there.
All right. Well, good on you, mate, and we appreciate you being here. And Happy New Year. You'll get there before we do, but enjoy 2019. And a great education again. Look forward to talking to you again. Great new resource for us here on the program, and good to have you on board.
Thank you, Steve, and the best of New Year to all of you as well.
There you have it. Humphrey Hawksley live from London today on the Steve Gerber Show. The book, again, Man on Ice, talking about the conflict or potential conflict between Russia and the United States that could come from that border in Alaska. Something to ponder, 52 after. We'll be right back.
Last year, electricity costs for Michigan businesses were higher than the top 10 state average and nearly the highest among peer states. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce can help you manage your electric expenses. In fact, the Chamber can help you cut energy costs by up to 70% by installing LED lighting. LED lighting is a practical, long-term solution to reduce your facility electric bills, save on maintenance time and cost, and help the environment. The Michigan Chamber is here to help you every step of the way. Find out more. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Chamber logo.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks. Just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.